Our first guest today proves that you can influence public opinion with a few squiggly lines, especially when those squiggly lines converge in such a way that they make the image of Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Jerry Brown or OR7. Jack Oman has drawn all those characters and many more in a long career as an editorial cartoonist and columnist. He comes to the Eugene Library Sunday at 2 to help celebrate Banned Book Weeks. Banned Books Week, Jack Oman won the Pulitzer for political cartooning this year and a pile of other awards in previous years. He works at the Sacramento Bee now, but spent nearly 30 years at the Oregonian in Portland. His cartoons are syndicated to more than 200 other papers around the country, and Jack Oman served as president of the Association of American Editorial Cartoonists last year. Jack Oman, what a pleasure to have you on The Exchange.
And I also went over to Niagara Falls in a kayak. You completely neglected. I mean, you know, that's... And survived, and I want to tell you, it wasn't that great.
I had a feeling with your sense of humor you would catch the bait and go for the Niagara Falls kayak.
Oh, yeah. No, that was like high, hard one, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Totally.
Anyway, good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you here. I understand that you started political cartooning fairly young.
Yeah, I think I was about three. I actually remember doing little caricatures of Nixon and Humphrey in 1968, which I'm sure the core listenership probably has a very good memory of, and just like me. So anyway, and then I was actually doing cartoons starting in when I was 17 at the Minnesota Daily, and that was almost 40 years ago. And so I went to the Columbus Dispatch, went to the Detroit Free Press, and then I went out to the Oregonian. That was my third newspaper job when I was 23. And I stayed there until I was 52. So I have a lot of Oregon roots. And here I am, a very kicky 56 at the Sacramento Bee.
Glad to hear you're kicky. And it is more than cartooning. I mean, you have other duties at the Sac Bee as well.
I do. I park some cars. I mean, when we, you know, this is journalism in the, you know, 21st century, so we have to do a lot of different things. But no, I have a column. I write editorials. I contribute to the Take, which is our online newsletter that goes out. So yeah, I asked to be named associate editor. And they said, well, why do you want to be named associate editor? And I said, well, I want to have a title going out the door of newspapers blow up that wasn't editorial cartoonist. So anyway,
they said, sure, yeah, we'll give you the title. There's no more money, but we'll give you the title.
No, it's fine. I mean, you know, we're doing quite well and, you know, against all odds, but I think I'm very optimistic about what we're doing here at the Bee. And, the atmosphere is very good here.
Was your departure from the Oregonian anything to do with the issues in the industry generally and with advanced publications specifically?
Well, Jeff, under the terms of my non-disclosure agreement, I am unable to answer any direct questions about my term of employment at the Oregonian. No, you know, I think it was just time for a change, and I was ready to make the change, and I wish the Oregonian well. That's my answer.
Well, the editorial page doesn't look quite the same without you, although the Sac Bee's looks a whole lot better with you.
May I say, though, I really liked their editorial page editor who I worked with. His name was Eric Lukens, and he won the Pulitzer in 14. And they just hired a wonderful new editorial page editor, Laura Gunderson, there. So, you know, they've got great people there. And, I mean, I wish them well.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, nearly 30 years in Oregon's going to make you practically a native. And so what did you do to get familiar with issues and players when you got to Sacramento and, you know, all the California scene?
You know, it's interesting. I think that anybody who pays any attention to things in the news has some sort of grounding in what's going on in California. And I... thank God Jerry Brown was governor, because, you know, I had been drawing Jerry Brown since I was 14 years old.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I had saved those drawings and ran a couple of them on, I think, my first cartoon in the Bee. And but California, I'll tell you, when I had my job interview here, I did a 450-page Wikipedia, you know, briefing book, and I memorized, you know, everything, like the state insurance commissioner is Dave Jones and the state treasurer, you know, controller is John Chang and so on. And it never came up at the interview, you know. So now I have all this information about California. But it's a very complex state. It, you know, memorizing the names is one thing, but getting the nuances is another. And I would say that, you know, I'm not dumb. I mean, and I spent a lot of time reading about it and, you know, trying to move around the state. And you are in Sacramento, so you can drift around the capital and learn. And so that's what I did. And I might say, interestingly, you know, I was a very good friend of Governor Kate Brown's. We went to high school together.
Oh, wow.
And so I felt that, you know, I was afraid she might become governor. and when I was at the Oregonian, and I thought, you know, maybe it's just time, you know, to move on here.
So, I was going to ask you about, you know, what you would have drawn with Kate Brown, because you didn't stay in Oregon long enough to be drawing when she was governor. And obviously, Kitzhaber gave you the brushy mustache you could put on there all the time.
Oh, you mean in terms of just the caricature?
Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody can be caricatured, but I just did not really want to be in the position of drawing cartoons about my good high school friend.
Makes sense. Jack Omen's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, long time at the Oregonian, now at the Sacramento Bee, coming back to Oregon to talk to a crowd at the Eugene Library on Sunday at 2 to help celebrate Banned Books Week. You can join us on the Exchange as we talk about his exploits over the years. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you left Oregon, Jack, shortly after OR7 seemed to appear in nearly all of your cartoons for a while, whether it related to wolves or not. And is it true you transferred your fuzzy animal situation to Jerry Brown's dog?
Absolutely. You know, and I've been in therapy about this, my compulsion to draw, you know, dogs and cartoons. Uh-huh. And, but it's, I really made quite a living at it. So my therapist says, it's cool. It's okay. No, you know, I picked up on OR7, and I think OR7 is a great Oregon, Northern California metaphor for the way people view themselves, which is kind of, you know, I call it libertarian, you know, and, you know, it's kind of, well, maybe in Jefferson County, not so liberal, but, you know, but there is that strain, you know, that independent thing that Oregonians really tapped into in OR7, you know, there's kind of the loner and they're against all odds, surviving, and also looking for love, you know. So it was he's a great character for me. And then coming down here, to people just love animals, you know, and they identify more strongly, I think, with animal characters than they do with human characters. And so I probably provided Governor Brown with $50 million worth of free advertising and, you know, and warmed up his image. And, you know, I've met him several times, and he betrays no evidence that he's ever heard of me or read the cartoons or anything.
Uh-huh.
And then I heard through a back channel, and I'm told that, oh, yes, they read that Sunday cartoon every day looking for their dog. So, you know, but it's fun. And the readers really like the Sutter character. So,
all right, good stuff going on there. Cartoons do function, obviously, in pictures, but in words as well. I mean, does one tend to arrive in your brain before the other?
Well, I always say that cartooning looks like a drawing job, but it's really a writing job. And essentially what an editorial cartoon is you're busting an editorial down to haiku form. It's very reductionist. And so what I do all day is walk around by myself in my office thinking of little phrases, right? And so once I've first I have to come up with the topic. And then once I've got the topic, then I'm shopping for that little phrase, turn of phrase around it. And, you know, that's the real skill. It's like coming up with it, not even the caption, but just like this little, you know, 8-word or 3-word or 7-word, you know, distillation of what I'm trying to get at. And then once I've got that, it's easy. I mean, well, it's not easy, but it's the easiest part of my day is actually drawing it. And you know, regular people would look at it and go, oh, how do you draw those cars? And I was thinking, well, I've been drawing them since 1963, you know, so
that part's
I mean,
easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack Holman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, editorial cartoonist and columnist at the Sacramento Bee, formerly of the Oregonian, coming to the Eugene Library Sunday at 2 as part of Banned Books Week. I don't think any of his have been banned, but people have probably thought about it. 800-838-3760 if you want to join the visit. And emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. I remember distinctly John Stewart talking a few years ago about boiling the anger out so that comedy could come through. Is there anything like that in your work process?
Boiling the anger out?
Well, I don't know if you use that term exactly, but the idea was that you gotta get the anger out of it to make the comedy come through.
Well, most cartoonists I know have had what I wouldn't say they had troubled youths, but I would say they had complicated youth. And you know, I don't know that I'm angry exactly. I think that, you know, when you meet me and you would say, oh, he looks like a guy from Minnesota who may also be a weekend weatherman, you know. But I think that there's a lot to that. And I think you have to tap into your rage, whether you acquired it in childhood or Donald Trump gave it to you that morning. And so you have to have a passion about it. And David Saracen, our great columnist at The Oregonian, you know, we used to just say, finally, after years of, you know, I think being somewhat diplomatic, when we just said, okay, we're just going to go with what, you know, what sets off, right, every morning. And so that's a good place to start.
So you do have to go with the stuff that you're feeling some grumps about, yeah, and move on.
Well, otherwise, you're not, you know, passion's got to be there in order for it to be a good cartoon idea.
Yeah. You've been quite passionate, and understandably so, about some of the things that have happened to cartoonists in the world in the last few years. In fact, I have in front of me the Unfortunately for Terrorists, Cartoonists Always Get the Last Word cartoon, which is just brilliant. All these cartoonists saying really mean, nasty things about the terrorists who shot up the Charlie Hebdo offices in Paris. Wow. I mean, where's the first move you make after you hear that people who do just what you do have paid for it with their lives?
Well, I was president of our national cartoonist group, which is called the Association of American Editorial Cartoonists, when Charlie Hebdo occurred. And I mean, it was the Kennedy assassination of our profession, and, you know, all molecular motion ceased for us, and, you know, millions and millions of Americans and people across the world who were into free speech. And I mean, killing someone is the ultimate censorship. I mean, it makes book banning look, you know, positively tame. And so, you know, my reaction to it was, my first reaction was, I'm amazed that it hasn't happened more often and to cartoonists in the United States, number one. But the fact is, you know, dozens of editorial cartoonists and cartoonists are murdered across the world all the time. And you could go to the AAEC website and see, you know, I think we have a list of names of people or on the Editorial Cartoonist Initiative who had been killed. And every year, you know, we have a recognition of some cartoonist who'd either been killed or was jailed or something, and brought them in if they were freed. And free speech is a very precious thing that we enjoy very, very strongly and wonderfully in the United States, and it's not a given. And in Myanmar or someplace like that. And so it's something we have to be eternally vigilant about. And I think in the Twitterverse, you know, they take free speech and put it on Silly Putty and throw it around and, you know, turn it into something that maybe we don't recognize. But, you know, I feel like now editorial cartooning is a rather tame element of, you know, in the world of free speech.
Sure, considering what else is out there, certainly. And obviously, I'm sure some people have objected to things you've drawn over the years. Now,
yes, they have, Jeff.
No doubt. There are certainly some people, though, who can't object because they're dead. I mean, some interesting cartoons you've made in the recent past. Reagan talking to Nixon, for example, and Bobby Kennedy talking to Cesar Chavez.
Oh, now, I really objected to that.
That's the Nixon voice. Wow. You got the whole
package. Now, Jeff, now listen to me. And Ronald Reagan did not object to that one at all because he's a very, very, I forgot what I was going to say, but I, yes. So anyway, I think, you know, no, you can't libel the dead. But I mean, I have a history degree. I got it from Portland State. I've always been very interested in history. And that informs a lot of my work. And so if I can figure out any way to draw Nixon or Reagan or Bobby Kennedy or somebody like that, you know, I think my readers appreciate it. And I'll tell you something. I was born in 1960. Mm-hmm. My parents were named, I'm not kidding, John and Jackie.
Really?
And they voted for Nixon. And they named me Jack, right? So it's like, what, you know, why? What? And so I was like a little child of the 60s. And so I'm growing up in Marquette, Michigan, and 1968. We moved to Washington, D.C., March of 1968. And I had never seen a black person in my life, probably, in Marquette, Michigan.
Where, yeah, the Upper Peninsula is not really well endowed with
African Americans. It's not, but it's just not diverse. You know, it's just like the big, you know, Finlanders are like, that's the big game up there, you know. And so I saw Washington burning as a child, from Roslyn. I remember seeing dozens of spires of smoke coming up from the D.C. skyline. And I saw Resurrection City, you know, along the mall. I don't know how many people, hundreds of thousands of people around the reflecting pool. And then I went to Robert Kennedy's burial as a child, as a seven-year-old, and saw the coffin and President Johnson and so on. And so that made a huge impression on me as a child, which I think spurred my interest in history. And so that's, I think, how you would see that those kind of historical references in my work.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting stuff. Jack Omen, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, editorial cartoonist and columnist for the Sacramento Bee, formerly of the Oregonian, coming to Eugene Sunday at 2 at the library as part of Banned Books Week. Can you have too much material to work with? I have to believe this election cycle is yes. Was that a yes?
Yes. I mean, it was an emphatic yes, but you want to finish the question. I'm sorry.
You get right to the nub of it, yeah.
Well, Donald Trump is a fire hose of cartoon ideas. I mean, if I had the time, I could do not a daily comic strip, but like an hourly comic strip. Because there's so many things. I feel like I'm missing like all these great things going by because you have to pick, you know, one. And so what do you do when, I mean, the kid saying, you know, the gas chamber line, and then his wife's, you know, saying that she wasn't an illegal immigrant, and then he's saying that the pastor, you know, was very nervous and weird, and, you know, that was yesterday, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, I think I would have the capacity to do, you know, flare pen type cartoons all day. And so I go into my editor who says, you know, you can't draw Donald Trump every day. And I thought, no, I can. I could. I could do them, you know, every 15 minutes, like, you know, or I could do it like traffic and weather together on the 8th, you know? I mean, it would just be constant, you know? But the real, you know, when you have a Trump, that's easy. It's hard to do cartoons in a non-election year when you pick up the front page and it's like, you know, Fed keeps key rate in place, you know? That's the hard part of the job.
Oh, no doubt. That's right. Yeah. And especially when you're working on local issues as well, you know, new arena plan, you know, meets the whatever. Yeah.
Right. Well, but there, you know, but I could do also, you know, local cartoons every day in Sacramento. And my predecessor, Rex Babin, pretty much did that. And there's a lot going on down here. Yeah. And, you know, Oregon is a lovely place. I mean, and I love living there and I love Oregon. And California is a, you know, it's like Oregon on top of France, right? I mean, it's just this dynamic, you know, strange, wonderful, screwed up, terrific, amazing, beautiful political environment. Mm-hmm. And so there are tons of things going by every day on that. subjects that I don't have time to address.
Who is Joe King, and why does he write so much like you?
Well, Joe King is a mythical U.S. Senate candidate and former gubernatorial candidate who I made up a couple of years ago so that I would have some way to make a video.
Uh-huh.
And so we're very video conscious here in American print journalism. And so, you know, Joe King is I actually started Joe King when Neil Kashkari was running for governor, and he had virtually no name ID. And so I am a 5'11", you know, chestnut-haired, fluffy-haired, full head of hair guy. And Neil Kashkari is, you know, a shaved head man. And so I walked around the state capitol in Sacramento, introducing myself with a videographer with me as Neil Kashkari. And only one person of about the 40 people I met said, "Oh, you're not Neil Kashkari." So, you know, I thought, oh, a star is born here. I mean, you know, so, and Neil Kashkari didn't like it either, but.
I can imagine.
Wow. So that was my first Joe King experience.
So performance art on top of the other stuff. And I noticed you got Gavin Newsom, the lieutenant governor, to give you posing tips. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, you know, Gavin Newsom should not be governor of California, or he should be host of The Tonight Show. I mean, he's really good. I mean, I'm sure he'd be a fine governor, but he is so funny. And if you go to YouTube and Google Jack Oman and Gavin Newsom, or Joe King and Gavin Newsom, he owns me. I mean, he's just very good, and he does really good impressions, and he's very charming. And
yeah.
So
it was a lot of fun to watch. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you as well. I'm not surprised. It's been many years waiting for this pleasure, and the folks in Eugene will get it Sunday at the library at 2. Jack Oman appearing as part of Banned Books Week. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the Pulitzer.
Great to talk to you, Jeff. Really fun.
Take care. Jack Oman is the editorial cartoonist and a columnist at the Sacramento Bee. You can see his stuff at sacbee.com, and he still appears in 200 other newspapers across the country, sometimes including the Oregonian as well.